Golficity Golf Podcast. What we want to do is first start by thanking everybody who tuned in last week, our first episode. So we now that we got that out of the way, we can start to get into some more. So again, we want to thank everybody who tuned in. This week, we're going to talk about a couple more things. What we're going to talk about firstly is what to expect from your first golf lesson. We know we have a lot of readers out there who might be just diving into their first lesson. You may be a beginner, maybe you're a longtime golfer, but either way, you may be taking your first lesson, have some apprehension there, you're not sure what to expect, how to get the most out of it. So that's something that we're going to be covering today. Later in the episode, it's a little bit of a bonus. We're also going to talk about the 6 ways to knock 10 strokes off your game. It's a quick and easy couple of tips that are going to really help you. Stuff to think about while you're out there. A couple of practice methods and a couple of little extras that is really going to help your game. So stick around for that. Again, if you're driving, if you're traveling, you know, maybe you can't access the site right now, don't worry about it. We're going to have all this information in the show notes. The easiest way to get to that is just to go to thegolfpodcast.com. There you'll be able to see all the episodes. That's going to redirect you to our main site, golficity.com. And there you'll be able to see links to anything that we talk about on the show today. All right. So before we dive into that, I know Mike, you got something that you wanted to talk about, something you wanted to share. What was that?
Frank, I'm pretty tired, I got to say. I've been playing a lot of golf lately. About 3 rounds in the last 4 days, and I am pretty excited. I finally figured out something. I want to share it with the listeners today because it probably happens to everybody out there. And I know it's happened to you. I've actually witnessed it. So the chunk shot, you know, that dreaded shot you just totally mishit. We, you know, was out playing the other day, and I had a beautiful drive right down the fairway. It was a bomb. It was probably plus 270, 275. I had about 90 yards to the pin. And, you know, as simple as can be, you put that on, you 1 or 2 putt it. I hit my shot, my wedge, about 50 yards. It was the worst shot. I was so angry. I ended up totally destroying the hole. So basically, real quick, just want to share this with you. Try to move the ball back in your stance. It's as simple as that. Just move the ball back about 3 inches where you're coming and hitting that ground before you hit the ball. And I started doing that. And Frank, let me tell you, I started doing that on the 3rd hole. Every hole after that, I was hitting my irons the exact distance that they should have gone. You know, they weren't all straight, I mean, but I was not chunking a ball for the rest of the round. And usually I chunk 3 to 5 shots a round, which is, you know, 3 to 5 wasted strokes. So I wanted to share that with you guys because I know that happens to everyone out there. So give it a shot next time you're out there.
Yeah, I appreciate you selling me down the river like that, telling everybody I chunked them a lot. But you know what? You couldn't be more right. Look, I do it. I do it all the time, especially from the fairway. I find that the club just will bite right in. You end up with a divot that goes further than the ball.
Mm-hmm. It totally blows up the hole. So,
but you couldn't be more right. You know, move it back in the stance, and then you're going to see a reduction in that. And actually, you'll probably end up with a better. And we could talk about this in a future episode because I know we cover this in detail on the site. But you could end up with a better compression that way too. So you're going to get that backspin you want, especially if you're in those short irons. You're going into the green. So that's a good point. So with that, let's dive right into the meat here. Let's talk about, we're going to talk about, what to expect from your first golf lesson. And this is a topic that, you know, we're really passionate about because we're both big proponents of taking a lesson. It doesn't matter if you're an amateur, if you've, you know, been playing the game your whole life, everybody can improve from a lesson. It always helps to gain a little bit of an outside, you know, view on it. Have a pro giving you some insight. Maybe it's something you don't see. We're really big fans of it for beginning golfers. Before you get in there and you start developing bad habits, take a lesson. Learn the swing the right way. So we want to dive into that. There's a lot of real benefits. Lessons have come a long way in recent years with the ability to record swings very easily. I mean, guys are out there recording their own swings with their phones, but a lot of pros have setups now where they have it detailed. They can give you multiple angles. They can slow it down. So Mike, I know you recently had a lesson. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was fun. It was interesting. I learned something that I wouldn't have picked up on my own golf game. The neat thing about the lesson, Frank, was the very minute I got into the booth, the minute the pro saw my swing, he picked out about 3 or 4 things that he saw was wrong, in his opinion. Stance, grip, you know, standing far back from the ball, maybe should get a little closer, maybe stand up taller. So, you know, as awkward as it was to make changes throughout my package of lessons that I did with the pro, it was definitely helpful. I enjoyed it. I would do it probably twice a year. My recommendation is to take maybe a 4-pack or a 6-pack of lessons off season and during the season. A lot of people just give up lessons during the season because they just go out and play. But my biggest advice would be to do lessons, especially during the season, so you can kind of transition that stuff while you're playing.
Absolutely. And even during the season, off season, when it's slow, I know guys like us, you know, we're up here in New Jersey. It's cold. We have a long off season, you know, 3-4 months at a time. It's a good way to stay fresh, take a new look at your game and jump in there. But during the season, I think another thing, not just, you know, we're talking a little bit about lessons, which you get one-on-one and recording sessions and things like that, but you can't underestimate how helpful a playing lesson is as well. Get out there on the course if possible. I know they're sometimes a little bit more expensive for that, but get out there on the course with the pro and take a playing lesson. I think that's the best way to learn all the aspects of the game. Let them see you tee to green. They're going to find things. They're going to give you tips. They're going to give you pointers. And like you just said, they tend to see things a lot quicker than we do. I mean, we're all out there. We all have had that. You're frustrated. You're like, what am I doing wrong? I can't quite get it. You know, you're wrapped up in your swing. You're wrapped up in your process. But that's what I said earlier about someone who takes a fresh look at it. You know, you get a pro comes in. He doesn't know your game. Maybe he hasn't played with you before necessarily. It's a first time lesson. So he's got a really fresh look. He can just look at it, say, well, you know what? Try this. The grip, like you said, anything, little things that it could be. So that's definitely a good pointer there. Now, anything else you wanted to cover about that, Mike? I know, again, I said in the show notes, we're going to have the article. The article goes a little bit more in depth, talks about all the different aspects of the lesson and a little bit more in the logistics of what to expect. Because some guys you go into, you're not quite sure. I mean, I even had a lesson recently where, you know, I showed up with my whole bag. You know, I had all the clubs and the guy's like, you're only going to need your 7-iron. You know,
I'm guilty of the same.
Yeah. Take it easy. Take it easy, guy. We're just starting out here, but you don't know, but everybody runs it a little different. Each pro likes to do something different. So I'm not going to give you any advice one way or the other. What I would say, if anything, is just to call ahead, ask, you know, what equipment should I be bringing with me? Cause some guys might say, you don't bring your whole bag. There's a little bit of everything I want to cover. Other guys might say, just bring one club, or I may have something here. Another takeaway that I would say is, if they don't already provide it, ask at the end if they did record your session, if you can get a copy of that. A lot of guys, they will videotape it. I've even had lessons where they'll have the ability to write right on the screen and give you some tips, and they even record their voice. Can't tell you how much of a help that is. I know me personally, I've gone back through my lessons and watched them. For instance, I was struggling with a slice for a little while there and went saw the lesson. They were able to review it on the tape and saw that my tailbone wasn't quite staying back. And with that, I was coming in and my hands were having to wrap around my body. Long story short, I was able to see it. Once I saw it, I could visualize it, and then I was able to fix it. But like anything, you know, muscle memory takes a while to groove a new swing. Maybe after about a month, I was back out there and I noticed the same symptoms. Best thing to do, rather than, you know, paying for a whole other lesson, I ran through my old videos and I saw that and I said, that's right, that's what it was. Because everybody knows there's a lot to think of during your swing. So that's another bit of advice I would say is, you know, if they do record it, make sure to ask for a copy. A lot of guys can email it to you right from the system. As I said, they're getting very sophisticated. It might be something you also want to qualify in advance. You know, if you're going in for a lesson, or if you're pricing them out, because they can be pricey. I mean, you could run as much as about $100 an hour, depending, and playing lessons, like we talked about, could run even more. So when you're pricing out and you're trying to see what pro to use, call ahead, say, hey, do you videotape? And would you be able to provide that to me afterwards? That's a big bonus. So keep that in mind. I would say that would be something that would be, something to look for.
You know, Frank, another thing I wanted to throw out there, and we mentioned this in the article, is a couple of things before you go into the lesson. Just manage, you know, what you wear to the lesson is the same as what you're going to wear on the course. Get comfortable, bring your spikes, bring your glove. you know, have a comfortable pair of shorts, pair of pants, whatever it is, and kind of put the situation of you being out on the course. Don't show up in sweatpants with sneakers. Stay hydrated, you know, just like you were playing a normal round. You're going to come into a huge wealth of information during even a half-hour lesson. So even if you brought a notepad with you, you don't know if they're going to record or if you even if you know they're going to record. Bring a notepad. You could jot down some bullet points, stuff that you could study when you go home. I've done it. It's really helpful because I can bring that back home and kind of read through it because I can't remember all of it.
True. You want to be able to have time to decompress that all that information. And like we talked about with the muscle memory, whatever they show you, you know, it doesn't stop with the lesson. I would say, you know, immediately after, while it's fresh in your mind, using your notes, using your videos, try to hit the range a couple times within the next week or so. Just hit 50 balls, just whatever they showed you, because it is going to take time for your body to adjust and start to gain that muscle memory for the new swing. Even if it's a small tweak, maybe they fixed your grip. Well, it's going to take time for, you know, everything to get used to that grip and for your swing to come together. So go ahead and do that. Now, as far as for people looking for lessons and how to find those, a couple tips, and again, we cover this a little bit more in the article, but a couple of places we can give you as pointers is first golf stores. There's a lot of golf stores that will have pros, and then they have part of it is what they'll do is the lessons. And some of them, especially if they have simulators on site. For instance, I know there's like the PGA Superstore and some of the other big name stores will offer lessons. And some of them even have discount packages. So look around for that. The other thing is most golf courses that have a club pro, usually the pro will provide lessons on the side as a little bit of a side business. So ask around. You can ask your local course. If it's a private course, you'd probably need to be a member, but who knows? Ask around. That's another place. Driving ranges as well. A lot of the driving ranges either have a pro on site or they have some sort of association with pros who use the range for lessons. Look around. Message boards they may have. Or you can even ask the owner, you know, is there anybody here who gives lessons? That's another way to find it. And even, you know, the websites like Craigslist are ways to find pros. There's a lot of pros will list, you know, themselves on there for their extra time, try to fill in some spots. It might be a good way to get a discounted lesson. There, though, make sure you're doing your legwork. Ask, you know, are they, you know, a PGA professional? What is it? Because you never know what you're going to get. You want to make sure you're getting your money's worth. You want to make sure you know somebody who knows what they're talking about. So ask, you know, ask their credentials, ask if they have some references. And, you know, with regards to references, ask around to your friends. Have they taken lessons? I think the way, you know, I ended up finding the last guy that I used was by a referral. So, you know, word of mouth, that's a good way to look around. So those are a couple different ways that you're going to have as far as where to find lessons and where to get started and taking your first lesson. Either way, can't say this enough that we encourage you to get out there and try it. You know, again, any skill level, whether you're a beginner or you're more advanced, maybe you want to just hone something, try it. It's going to be the best 50, 60 bucks you spent because, you know, you could drop that much on a couple dozen golf balls that you're going to lose if you don't have the lesson. So go ahead and do that. Give it a try. It will help you fine tune it. And I can almost guarantee that they're going to find something that you maybe haven't seen. It's that fresh look. It's that fresh eye that they're looking at it with. So those are our tips. Again, make sure to check the article on Golficity. We have more information there. You can get to that by going to thegolfpodcast.com. And you're going to see in our show notes for episode 2, that's going to have a link to that. Now, jumping into the bonus tip that we want to talk about. Again, I am going to have the show notes there. You'll be able to read all these. There's about 6 different ones, and it's pretty much in depth. So what we're going to do is just touch on a few of them for the sake of time. But go to there. You're going to be able to read them all. These particular tips come from Nick Dunnan. He's a professional golfer. He is also a guest author on our site. So he's able to bring these to us. So with that said, you know, Mike, you want to jump into the first couple?
Yeah, sure. The first and you know one I find really important, Frank, is we don't do this normally. But Nick says to practice on your own, and what he means by that is, for example, I feel there's two golfers here: Mike, who likes to compete with his buddies on the weekend, and Mike, who's trying to get better. And you know, even if it's a 6 o'clock after work, if you're able to do it, go out and play 9 holes on your own. You know, walk the course. What this does, it allows you to practice. It takes the pressure off that Sunday competition with your friends. You may have money on the line or whatever the case may be, but you know that can really force that added pressure you don't need and that pressure that's not helpful. So give it a shot. I mean, Frank, I don't know. Have you ever done that? Just went out there, practiced nine holes on your own, just maybe hit one shot in the woods, you drop another one, you hit, don't really keep score. Just practice the game without anyone else around.
Absolutely. You know, it's going back a little ways, but back in high school when I played on the golf team, there were some times when it would just be me out there and I'd play, and he's right. I those were some of my most effective practicing, because you're not distracted. You're not talking with your buddies about different things and here and there, or trying to compete. You're out there just playing. You can test things out. It's going to take some getting used to. Look, it's like going to dinner by yourself, or going, you know, a lot of people say, I'm not comfortable. I just need somebody there with me, but try it. The other benefit to that as well is most times you're not going to get your own tee time unless you're playing late at night, you know, right before dusk or something. What that's going to do is it's going to, if you go out there and make a tee time for one, it's going to force you to play with other people. And the more people you play with, I think that that's going to also help your game. Now, it goes contrary to playing alone, obviously, but there are going to be those opportunities when you're playing alone. But other times, you're going to be paired up with people, and you're going to be able to see new things. And it's always good to get that feedback. You know, just playing with multiple different golfers and seeing their different styles is going to help your game. But even again, with that, maybe you're not playing alone, but you're playing with others. You don't know the guys, so you're more, you know, in tune to your own game rather than just, you know, talking with your buddies or whatever, like you were saying, Mike.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that I think we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast today was muscle memory. Muscle memory is one of the most important aspects of the game. If you watch some of these PGA Tour players, if they swung and hit 10 balls, if they were all hooked up to a bunch of machines, I bet 9 or even 10 out of the 10 swings would be identical. And simply it's because of your muscle memory. And the only way to build that memory is to hit the range and hit buckets of balls. I mean, the article references your driver. You don't hit your driver that much during a round, 15, 14 times. And even if you play it a few times a month, you're only swinging your driver 60 to 80 times a month, if that. So, you know, you have the ability to swing your driver 200, 300, 400 times with a bucket of balls, maybe twice, three times, four times a month. And, you know, it's really helpful. I mean, going to the range is one of the best things you can do. I prefer grass ranges. If you have one in your town, one where you can use your own tee and hit off the actual turf instead of the mats, it makes it a little more realistic. But I can't stress that enough. Hit the range. I mean, everyone does it and everyone improves that way.
Absolutely. So let's recap a little bit here. So the first two we had was get out there, practice on your own. Second one is make sure you put in that range time. You know, the pros are doing it. You want to improve your game, you should be doing it too. And let me jump back to the sentiment of this article in general is when we say knock 10 strokes off your game, we're not saying each one of these is gonna. We wish it was. It's a cumulative effect. So applying these to your game, it's going to change the way you approach the game in general. What we're really gearing at is that you're taking the game more seriously, getting out there to the range, getting some rounds under your belt out there by yourself. You're really spending some time to one-on-one with the game where you can really focus with it. So another tip that's covered in the article and I wanted to discuss was learning to visualize. This has probably been, and we talked about this a little bit in the last episode with regards to putting, but visualization has been one of the biggest ways that I've improved my game this season. I've spent a lot of time on this, and there's countless, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on visualization alone, but there's countless different studies and techniques that have come out. We hear more and more people saying you got to tell your brain what you want it to do. You got to visualize the shot and then your body will make that happen. That's the key to visualization. So the way I've intertwined it is I've actually made visualization part of my whole setup routine. I make sure that it happens. And what I do by that is I'll first take a step back. I'm standing behind the ball. I'll physically visualize the shot. I'll visualize the flight, where it lands, right down to when the ball stops moving. It takes 2-3 seconds, but you just got to take the time to actually burn that into your mind. The second thing I'll do is I'll step up to the ball, and when I'll take my first practice swing, I will actually visualize as if I've hit the ball. So what I'll do is I'll take my swing and I'll mentally say to myself as though I've struck the ball, and I'll watch the path. Same thing. Watch the whole path all the way to where the ball ends up. So it's essentially in your mind, you're grooving into your mind, you know, this is the path, this is the path that it's going to take. Then get up there, step up and hit it. The other aspect of visualization that I found is that you can actually have almost a counter visualization, that being visualizing the wrong thing. And what I mean by that, and again, this is something we could dive much deeper into, but just to touch upon it, for instance, let's say there's a hole that notoriously, every time you go up there, you hit it in the water on the right. Now that's in your head. So that almost inevitably you're stepping up to the tee and you're thinking, I'm going to hit it in the water on the right. Every time I hit it in the water right, you may be telling yourself, I'm going to aim way left so I don't hit it in the water. Doesn't matter. What that is actually proof of what visualization can do. You are visualizing that ball going into the water. The best advice that I can say for that would be follow the routine I just said. Create a new visualization. Visualize that ball going down the middle of the fairway with your drive instead of going in the water. And the second thing would be try not to fight the negative visualization too much. Just let it pass. And what I mean by that is let's say I step up to the ball and boom, it pops into my head again, that ball going into the water. What I do is just take a step back, take a breath, let that go away, let it be replaced by the visualization that I intend, which is it going down the middle of the fairway. And then step up and hit it. It may take, you know, that's going to take some time. You're retraining your brain. I mean, there's all different reasons why the brain does what it does. And it's trained because you've played that hole so many times. It's trained to think water on the right, good or bad. That's what it's thinking. So you got to retrain it. But the best way to do it, don't get frustrated. Don't worry too much about it. Just take a step back, take a breath, revisualize and hit it. It's going to take some time, but I guarantee that's going to help you. Just practice it with every time. And just as though muscle memory we're talking about, we keep jumping back to that. Same thing with true memory with your brain, is that it's going to take time to get used to it and be doing that. So make it part of your routine. Make sure you do it. And then it's going to become a habit. And then you're going to actually start to notice when you don't do it, you're going to feel like something's off rather than feeling like this is different than I'm visualizing. Make it part of your routine. You'll get used to it. And that's definitely going to help you. Another aspect that's discussed in the article as far as helping your game is stretching. This is something that everyone's kind of heard it somewhere along the line, either in a golf magazine, on the web, something you've heard, stretching and how important it is. Yet I see very few people doing it. You know, on the first tee, every guy's got his driver behind his back and he's twisting and things like that. But think about what's happening in your swing. Think about everything that's going on. All types of twisting, things like that. A lot of us guys, we're sitting at a desk all day. You know, we're not moving like that. You know, we're stiffening up. So you got to make sure you're limber, because if you're not, muscle memory or no muscle memory, you can't execute. So make sure you're stretching. And I don't just mean that 5 minutes before you tee off. Although it is important, you know, get a nice stretch routine down, you know, and there's plenty of them out there. You can search them and I'm sure you'd be able to find a million on Google of golf stretches and things like that. But work stretching just generally into your fitness routine in general. You'll find that you'll be much more limber. You won't be as reliant on that short stretching routine you do right before you tee off. And I'm personally a big proponent of yoga. I've been doing it for a long time. I've actually been a little bit out of practice recently, but give it a try. You know, if your gym offers classes, jump in there. You know, even give the instructor a little feedback, you know, because a lot of times they'll tailor the class to the people in it and what they're looking to do. And you can say, look, I'm a golfer. Obviously, there's a lot of rotation that goes on. I'm finding a little bit of stiffness with my hips. I need different ways to limber that up, and they'll help you with it. You could also look online. There's plenty of different yoga routines and just different stretches, and that's what it is. Yoga is about stretching. It's about, you know, getting those muscles to be a little bit more limber, and you'll find that it'll be a little bit easier for you, and you'll start to generate more power. You'll start to generate more club head speed. This isn't just an injury prevention thing, although that's a big part of it. That will help. You will find that your game will be improved because your body is able to do what your mind is asking it to do. So those would be my big tips. So again, just recapping, Mike talked about, you know, practicing on your own, talked about getting to the range. I was mentioning the visualization, stretching. There's a number of other tips on there on the article as well, so make sure to check with that on Golficity, and you'll be able to pick up those tips and just piece them together. So beyond that, we covered a lot this episode. I want to first and foremost is just ask what your opinion is of what we discussed. We want to hear, you know, everybody has little things that they might be able to help us improve upon that. So we want to hear from you. Best thing you could do, share those with us on Facebook. It's golficity.com/Facebook. You can also tweet us at Golficity. And you can also use the hashtag TheGolfPodcast and join in the conversation. Let us know specifically what you think. Have you tried these things? If so, does it work for you? Do you have some small caveat to that you can help us, that you can suggest that might be a little bit of a better way to do something that we mentioned? Let us know. We definitely want to hear from you. Also, we want to take a moment to just briefly talk about a brand new part of the site that we recently launched. It's the Golf Directory. You can find that by going to Golficity and just clicking on the Golf Directory at the top. It's in the top menu. We specifically launched this aspect of the site as our mission to create the largest worldwide directory of golf facilities, complete with player reviews and packed with information. And the point being just to help you discover new places to play and improve your game. So we want to create like a sharing community. We want to get those reviews on there. We want to find out, help each other out, different types of tips. Jump on there. You'll see what I mean. It's very quick, easy, free to register. And what you can do is you can just jump on and just start reviewing some of the courses you played. You know, I know we use it all the time. Mike, you could tell us a little bit about some of the examples that you recently were on there.
Yeah, Frank. Recently, I played a great course in New Jersey. Twisted Dune actually made Golficity's top 10 courses to play in New Jersey recently. I had to book a golf round for a bunch of buddies, and I went on the Golf Directory. The cool thing, Frank, it's free, number one. It's easy to sign up. You can sign up with a username and password, or do it this even more easy way, which is log in through Facebook or even Twitter. But I think the best part about this is you get to see the reviews of people who've played these courses before you even book it, which you can do right there on the screen as well. So you see a couple of photos. You get to see all the information about the course, how many bunkers are there, if it has food available, things like that. Then you can say, okay, based on the reviews, this place looks pretty good. You could book it right there if they're affiliated with the Tee Time service that's on our site. So give it a shot. Give it a shot. Check it out. I love it, and I use it frequently.
Yeah, and that's the point of it. We put it out there. We designed it. We spent a lot of time on it. We have over 17,000 golf courses on there right now. And again, it all comes back to our larger mission of just sharing this game that we love, helping guys play more. And I think this is one of the best ways to do it, because you may be looking for a course in the area. And look, before you go out there and you drop $50 to $100 on a tee time, you might want to know a little bit about it. So jump on there, read the reviews that guys have posted. They may have little quick tips like when to play, when not to. I know I was just on vacation down by the shore and checked it out on the Golf Directory and found there was a local course that did Tuesday specials. We ended up playing around with a cart for $30. So those are those little innuendos that you may not necessarily find out just by going to the club's website itself. You want to hear those from people who have actually played it. So jump on and check those out. And while you're on there, like I said, review the courses you've played. Share those with the rest of us so we know. So that's easy. Again, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. So you go to thegolfpodcast.com, episode 2. You're going to see on there. I'm going to put a link specifically to it, but it's easy to see. If you go to Golficity, right at the top, we have the Golf Directory. You'll see you can search by geolocation. You can put in your zip code. It'll list all the courses in your area. It takes 2 seconds to get signed up, and you can jump on there and start reviewing. You know, courses, you give them anywhere from, you know, 1 to 5 stars, and you can post a review. You can even submit your own pictures. And I know personally, I love that because I like to see what the course looks like, course conditions. Again, there's another thing. You don't want to drop, you know, again, when I say $50 to $100 on greens fees and get out there and it's not quite up to par. It's, you know, it's a mess. The fairways are dead. Guys, take pictures. You can get an idea and you can see what you're looking at. So we encourage you to check that out. We'd love to see everybody on there, start reviewing. We'll talk about those a little bit more in future episodes. And if you do review one, we may even talk about it on here. So we're going to be talking about more and more courses. And if we see your review, you know, there's a chance we'll read it on the podcast. So make sure you get that on there. Other than that, just want to thank everybody for listening. Make sure if you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a review on there. We'd love to hear how we're doing. This being our second episode, you've got a lot more coming. We're going to try to get these to you every week, but we want to hear what you think. How can we tailor it more towards the things that you're looking for? If there's specific tips that you'd like to have us discuss, any questions you may have, you can send those to us at podcast@golficity.com. Email us there. Those will come directly to us and we'll be able to answer some of your questions that we see. We'll even maybe get some of the different pros and guest authors that we have on here, be able to answer those questions for you. So again, that's podcast@golficity.com. Email us there. Otherwise, we look forward to talking to you all again in a week. We'll see you then.